It's so good to know that we can run to our God, that we can go to Him, and He is the refuge, He is the rock that takes care of those things for us, whatever it may be in our lives, whatever may be going on and what's happening, that He, as soon as we give it to Him, because He's waiting for us to give it to Him, He takes it and He solves it the way He wants to solve it. And all we have to do is give it to Him and have faith that He will do what He needs to do to take care of it. We don't have to do anything besides that. Because Jesus did it all at the cross for us. Amen. Amen. Well, children's church, children, you can stand in the workers and let's pray for them. Father, Lord, we pray for the workers, and we, first of all, we pray that You would give them wisdom, Lord God. You would show them what to do today, that the Holy Spirit would be upon their lives, that the anointing of the presence of God will show them things and how to take care of it and how to teach these children, that the anointing and the presence of God would be upon them. And Father, I pray for these children that they will understand and grasp the Word of God and plant it deep within their hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Workers in children's church and children, you may go. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Amen. We do want to thank You for Your tithe and offerings to the church. Last Sunday, we picked up in tithe to the church $581, and we want to thank you for that. And we were able to write a check to Gail and Leonard for the Thanksgiving dinner that they're going to have for Thanksgiving for $130. So thank you for giving in those two areas. We certainly do appreciate it, and we thank you for that. Also, a matter of note, don't forget December 8th is the anniversary of our church. We'll be celebrating 4 years of being here. Our first service was on, it was in 09. It was November 29th of 09 that we had our first service. And so we do want to thank the Lord for His many blessings and what He has given unto us. And we certainly do appreciate it. So don't forget, that's December the 8th in as far as the anniversary of our church. And we do want you to invite people, invite your family, invite your friends, invite people to come. Invite people in the community to come, because we want the Spirit of God to get a hold of them. We want the conviction of the Holy Ghost to work in their hearts and lives and see them come to the knowledge of Christ. That's the main thing. That's the main thing. Also, a matter of note, on your bulletin, look to the back of your bulletin. We've decided to do that. It's a place where you can write notes if you want to during the service, because we've noticed, and it came to our attention that, you know, people were writing all over their bulletin, and that's fine. You know, hey, look. Write all over it. You know, write on the front, the back, wherever. It doesn't matter. Don't write on your arm. It doesn't matter. Just don't write on your forehead or your... But write all over. And make sure it's not permanent marker, you know. But on the back, from now on, what we'll try to do is keep that space for you to write notes. And what I've done is, with the help of, well, Jelaine and Joe and other people, we put some of the scriptures as much as we can place at the top. So those scriptures are going to change. They're going to go coincide with the sermon unless the Lord says otherwise, you know. So we just want to be of help to you and to bless you and to help you in your walk with the Lord and what He's doing in your life. And so that's for you. So we'll try to do that every week with that. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a couple we need to pray for. We need to pray for Brian and Cheryl. They're both sick, just not feeling well at all. Let's just lift them up. Father, I come before you this day. Lord God, I lift up Cheryl to you, Brian to you. And Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would be upon them, that you would bring healing to their bodies. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, touch them, Lord God, and bring healing to that area of their bodies. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would illuminate your word to us this morning. And Lord God, I pray blessings upon your church, upon your people, in their giving and tithing and giving unto you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, start at verse 1. Well, how did y'all like that cold weather? It only lasted a little while. Yeah, you talk about. Amen. Little cool weather. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance, or the title deed, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not based upon the senses, which will yield uncertainty, but rather on the Word of God. So faith is based upon the Word of God. Faith, you know, God says without faith we cannot please Him. We have to have faith, some kind of faith to believe in what He's doing, to believe in that He has our best interests at heart, to believe that what He's doing is to help us to be a better Christian, to yield, to mold us and make us into His image, to help us to accomplish the will of the Father through His Son Jesus upon the earth. And so it says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So you know what I've said? I said, Lord, build our faith. As a church, build our faith to believe, Lord. Build our faith as individuals. Build our faith as individuals to believe that God will ultimately work in our hearts and lives like never before. To build our faith to believe as families that God will be praised and honored and lifted up in our families as we believe in faith that He will do the things that He said He would do in His Word. So faith is saying in the first part, as it says, now faith is the substance or the title deed of something. You know, we have titles to things. Unless you own it, you know, like, you know, your house or your car or whatever, you don't have a title. You don't own it. Not yet, anyway. So who has it? The one that has given you the money to buy it. They own it till you pay them what is rightfully theirs, plus interest. But you know what? When we get that title, when we finish paying for it and we make that last check and we give it to them and they send through the mail the title, it's like we look at it and in almost in amazement, you know, we say, Lord, thank you that it is ours. Now, we believed as we were paying for it that it was ours. So faith is the title deed of getting all the things that God wants us to have through His Son for our lives. That faith is the title deed to it. So, The things that God has put upon our hearts to believe for, we need to pray, Lord, give us the faith to believe it as we trust in the cross of Calvary through His Son, as we petition the Father for those things, whatever it may be. But it has to line up with the Word of God. That's where Christians go crazy sometimes. Rita laughed. It's true. Christians go crazy sometimes. And they're believing for something that God never told them to believe for. They're believing for a BMW to be in their driveway tomorrow morning. Now, hey, let me tell you, if somebody would come give me one, I'll take it. Might sell it, but I'll take it. That's okay. Drive it a little bit, though. Drive it. Everybody have a ride, you can drive it. Then we'll sell it. But you know, if God wants to do it that way, that's up to Him, because He wants to bless His children. But you see, we got to believe for the things that God says He wants us to have. That's when we move the mountain. That's when we move the thing that sets us back from having what He wants. When we believe what He says to believe for. The number one thing that is in the heart of God is people. The souls of people is what He wants saved. Because He knows the end result of someone that does not accept His Son as Savior and Lord. He knows the end results more than what we could ever imagine. He knows it. And so the end result is this. We got to believe by faith that God wants to reach the community. We know that lines up with the Word of God. We know it. And so we can go to the Father through the access door of His Son and petition the Father for the souls of men. I was listening to a preacher during the week, and he was saying, you know, he was remembering the things of his mother. Now, his mother has been dead for many, many, many years. But he said, I remember growing up in church, and my mother would start praying for a soul. He said they had no choice but giving their heart to the Lord. Because she would go to the Father and bombard heaven. And wouldn't leave it alone till it happened. He said, I remember growing up and the church would come together to pray. And he said it wasn't just for a few minutes. It wasn't just once a week. But he said sometimes it was 7 days a week we'd gather together for hours upon hours, speaking in tongues and praying to the Father and asking God to move. But he said we saw miracles like never before. And what he was doing was, he was talking about how it takes the Holy Spirit to go and do the work and not all the silliness that is happening a lot today. See, it takes the Holy Spirit to convict somebody of sin, that they need a Savior. Today, because we're the modern church, well, let's just have a barbecue and get them in. Now, there's nothing wrong with a barbecue. But if that's how you're trying to get people in, it won't work and it won't last. Because it's not the Holy Spirit. Now, there's nothing wrong with barbecue. There's nothing wrong with feeding people. My Lord, feed them. There's nothing wrong with that. But it cannot take the place of the convicting power of the Holy Ghost as we believe by faith for the power of God to move. For the power of God to move upon a person's life. That's what will change them. And the change will be permanent because the Holy Spirit, when He moves, He moves. He shakes things up. You can read in Acts chapter 2 when the Spirit of God came down in that place. It says that they came out worshiping and praising God with other tongues. As it, they said it was like tongues of fire upon their heads because the power of God that was there. Look, let me tell you, this morning the power of God, I felt the presence of God come into this place. Man, it was like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Honestly, I'm standing there saying, Lord, I don't know what you want to do sometimes. But Lord, whatever you want to do. Hey, Father, move. 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 Move upon the people. You see, faith is the title deed to those things. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. It says this, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was found because God had translated him. From before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, Enoch is only one of two people that we know of that's written down in the Word of God that actually never died physically. That God just came and picked him up and they just went to heaven. Man says, and I know even we think, well, that's kind of impossible. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. You might be the third one. To not see death. Oh, we might all not see death when Jesus comes. We don't know. We know Jesus is at the door ready to come and he's waiting on the Father to send him. And so we got to be ready whenever he wants to come that we're ready to go. That nothing in this world is holding us down or pulling us with the envy of the world. But that we don't envy the things of the world, but we envy God. And our heart is towards him in the things that he wants to do in us and through us. But it says this, that Enoch's testimony was that he pleased God. People, what if that was our testimony? What if God the Father said, Job's testimony, that he pleases me? Or the Father turns to the Son and says, the testimony of that church, Gadon International Church in Gadon, is that they please me. A lot of times what God sees and what God thinks is totally different from what man thinks or what man sees. But he looked and he said, Enoch's testimony is that this man pleases me. He pleases me. He says the things that need to be said. He does the things that I want him to do. He pleases me. What kind of testimony should we have towards our God in all that he has given unto us? Number one, the Father gave us his Son. My God, he could have kept his Son from coming, but he knew the only way to reconcile him back to us was for his Son to die. As we please him, he gave us his Son. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us those things that we hunger for. His presence, his anointing, his power, his strength, his ability. Those things given unto us. How would that be if the testimony of our church, of our hearts towards him, was that we please him. We please him. And when somebody pleases God the Father moves on behalf of what that man or that lady needs in their hearts and in their lives. That the power of God moves and gives strength and power and anointing to that person because we please him. You might say, well, Pastor, are we going to always do exactly what he wants to do? I hope we would. Definitely, we will strive for that. We may come short. That will happen sometimes. But you see, when we do, we ask forgiveness and we go on. And we ask the Father to lead us and guide us that we would please him in all our duties, in all our efforts, in all the things that God puts upon our hearts. We need to acknowledge that every day when we get up, And we look to the Father for help. And we praise Him. And we thank Him for what He's done. That our hearts is, Lord, I want to please You today. And look, when our heart is towards pleasing the Father, it will keep us from doing things that aren't right. Because when our heart is towards Him, the Holy Spirit is leashed out upon us to help us to please Him and to honor Him and to love Him with all of our hearts. We know without a shadow of a doubt, we cannot live for Him without Him helping us. There's no way. Because it says in Scripture that every intention of the heart of man is evil. Everything. And that happened when Adam and Eve fell and the sin nature was birthed on the inside of us. So every intention of the heart of man is evil. You might say, well, man, there's many good people. Yes, there's a lot of good people. But goodness will not open up heaven's door for us. It's only the blood of Jesus. Because even in our goodness, in the things that we do, in maybe helping people, you know, financially, helping people with their good, with goods, helping them in all areas, there's still something on the inside of man saying, look what I did. There is. It's a seed that has been planted. Not because of us, but because of what happened many, many years ago. Look what I did. It's there. It's there. But Enoch, it says that he pleased God. Pleased God. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 5. Pleasing our God. Genesis chapter 5. Look at verse 21. Talking about the family of Enoch. It says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. He walked with God. We know it says that he had sons, he had daughters, but he had one son called Methuselah. As we know, is the oldest recorded man in the Bible, which lived 969 years of age. Can you imagine living 969 years? You would my God, can you imagine if you were on Social Security from 65 to we'd be worse off than what we are, our government. Man, they would want to write you off. They'd probably send people to kill you because they have enough of you, you know. You're living too long. 30 years is average. You can't go another 900 years. There's no way. You bankrupting the system. But you see, that's the faithfulness of God. 969 years of age. Faith. Enoch means dedicated one. Enoch means dedicated one. Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. He did the things that God wanted him to do and accomplished what God wanted him to accomplish. I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 1, please. Psalms chapter 1. And I'm not saying it's easy to please God in everything, because sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just not. Sometimes I don't understand the things of God. I'll be honest with you. I don't understand it. Sometimes I don't want to understand it. You know what that's called? That's called rebellion. That's called rebellion. That's the truth. You ever read something in the Word of God and you hurry up and shut it? And you try to forget it because you said, that's not true. That's not true. When God says, bring all the tithe to the storehouse, He didn't say to throw it next door. at the pool hall for dinner. It's true, huh? He said to bring it into the storehouse. You know why? So there would be meat in the place. First of all, to bring meat to his house. And second of all, so that the devourer, you can read it in verse 11, of Malachi chapter 3, verse 11, so the devourer could be rebuked from your finances and my finances. That any time he tries to rise up and bring destruction to your finances, another word for rebuke is that God presses it down. Cool. But we think, we think we know better. I was talking to somebody yesterday after work. I got there and she got there and she's on the rural side. And so I said, "Hey, Miss Rena," she's been there 30 years. So, you know, "How you doing?" "Oh," she said, "I saw they were working on the Catholic Church." I said, "Well, good." And I knew there was some things she's just not too pleased with. And so I said, "Oh," she said, "I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know how they're doing it. I know they don't have money because I'm not even tithing there anymore." I said, "Oh," I said, "but," so she knew she was supposed to talk. I said, "So you're not giving anymore there?" "No." I said, "But the Bible says we're to tithe no matter what, no matter what we think." "Well, I've decided I'm just going to help people." "Oh, I'm going to help when they need food. I'm going to help. I'm going to do this." I said, "Well, does Freddie know?" "That's her husband." And so we kind of talk. I said, "Freddie knows about it." "Oh, he thinks I'm still tithing there." "Oh." I said, "Oh." I said, "So he does not know that you're not." "He doesn't know. He thinks we are." She said, "On Sunday mornings, I just look at the priest. And I just look at him like, I don't care what you're saying. You know, just," I said, "Oh, Lord." I said, "Well, Miss Rena, the Bible says for us to tithe, not for the church, but it's for us. To rebuke the devourer. We're saying, Father, I trust you with my money. And I trust you with all my possessions." And so you see, we have to trust the Lord. No matter what comes our way, guys. No matter what comes our way. That we trust Him in all the things. So that God can depress the enemy as he tries to destroy the things that we have. He depresses it. He rebukes it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that, just example, we tithe, we do whatever, you know. And, you know, we just going about, Jelaine and I, as our daily thing, we do whatever. I don't have to worry about rebuking the enemy for my finances. You know that? Because the Bible says, you can read it in Malachi, that my God, the Savior of the world, the Father, whenever the enemy tries to rise up and destroy my finances and do things that are just not correct, that the Father looks to him and rebukes him. Honestly, it doesn't say what he says. He just rebukes him. He might rebuke him with just a look. That's all it takes. He might... He might rebuke him with a kick of the dead, yeah. She admits that a lot. But God takes care of these things, people. We don't realize that. You know, and I'm not here to get your money. That's one thing, let me tell you. But I know this, I will speak the truth about money or anything else. Because let me tell you, it liberated me. And the blessings upon my life. And I know God has blessed y'all over in abundance. I know somebody that, you know, that they had a job, lost their job for almost a year, but just tithed no matter what and never, never went one day with being late on any bill. Not one day. Didn't work for, not that she didn't want to. But just because of circumstances, couldn't get the job, whatever. How faithful is God? People. People. How faithful is He to His people? You know, that's the only place scriptures keep coming up. That's the only place it says, test me. with our finances. Test me and see if I will not prove who I am. It's like, oh my God. Okay. I was listening to something and someone said that they had $20 left in their account, their checking account, whatever, $20. And they just felt impressed of the Lord that they had to give it. Somebody was raising money, whatever, and they gave the $20 saying, Lord, I have no money for gas. I have no money for food. I have children. I mean, nothing. But they felt, I have to do it. And look, they gave the $20. They got a check from an unknown source the next day for $600. Blew them away. Don't you think their faith was built? That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. That will build our faith in the things of Him. That will build our faith in the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That's the kind of faith we need to rise up, that we will believe for the things that God wants us to believe for. To believe those things, no matter what's going on in our hearts, no matter what's going on in our personal lives, that we get a hold of the things of God and say, Lord, I won't let you go till these things are answered, Father. Build my faith. Build my faith. Sometimes, let me tell you, sometimes we get to a place where we have a Jonah experience. You know what a Jonah experience is? When you swallowed up by a whale, a big fish. That was a big fish to swallow a person. And for 3 days, stay in the belly of a fish. When they were on that boat and the waves were rising up and it was about to be destroyed, and they said, and they looked at each other and said, who's causing this? Who's causing this? And Jonah said, it's me. I've disobeyed God. Well, they took him and didn't think about it. They just threw him overboard. We need to be thrown overboard sometimes. Because when we walk in territory that we are not accustomed to, that's when our faith is built up. That's when we don't know what's going to happen on the left or the right side of us. That's when God can move. Have you ever gone to some place and you've never been there before? It's dark, it's nighttime, and you're looking for something? You're looking for this house and you know the GPS says it's right here. You know MapQuest says it's right here, and you're looking and you're looking and looking and you still miss it. Unknown charted territory. We need to have faith in our God even when He says, step out. Step out. Step out, church. Step out on the promises of God. Step out on the things that God has called you to do. Step out in the things of God. Let God use you. Don't stiffen up to the things of God. Don't be stiff-necked. Don't stiffen up. But let God move through you. Let the Spirit of God move through your heart. Step out on the things of God and let Him use you. Look, when they threw Jonah out of that boat, Jonah didn't know what was going to happen. Honestly. He thought he was going to die. Now, this is not even in my notes here, but that's okay. He didn't know if he was going to die or what, people. A lot of times God will throw us on the other side of the boat in the midst of waves, and He'll calm the sea right then, and He'll have something come to swallow us up. And can you imagine, for 3 nights, 3 days, in the belly of a fish, dark. Not knowing what was going to happen. He said, I'm just fish food here. Just fish food. But all that time in the belly of that fish, God was working. Even in the midst of the worst problem in our hearts, the worst situation in our lives, that could be the belly of the fish. Sometimes it lasts a week, sometimes it lasts 6 months, sometimes it may last a year, but so what? We learn some things. We learn who our God is. We learn how He can supply for us. We learn that He's our healer. We learn that He can do all things. That with Him all things are possible. Because as we sit in the belly of that fish, our faith is rising up to believe. As Jonah was in that whale, I know. After one night, can you imagine? He said, I'm in here forever. Then two nights came around. Oh my God, You've forsaken me, Lord. Three nights come around. But all of a sudden, he says, Lord, forgive me. And Father, I'll go do Your will. And I'll preach to that city, Nineveh. And all of a sudden, that old whale had a stomach ache. My God, and he threw him up. That was the best throw up that whale had ever had. Look, you may be in the belly of a fish, but God's going to throw you up. And look, you'll be better off than ever before. Don't think you're in that spot forever, going through that problem, going through that situation. Because all the time you're sitting there, God is raising your faith to believe, to believe, to believe. Jelaine and I were talking last night. And we both said, we could believe God for anything, I think. And I said, I know. We could believe God for anything because of the faith that is rising up on the inside of us. Because of what God is doing in us to believe. Just believe. And I know it's things maybe we have done to build our faith. You know, but what we put our faith in, and you praying for us as your pastors. You don't realize how much we honor and cherish your prayers. That as we are going through our daily duties of running the church and our other jobs and all this stuff, that the power of God is so evident in our lives. You don't know how much we cherish you. And thank God for you. How you've stuck with us, how you've helped us, how you prayed for us. And we just, you know, we just, and Jelaine said, I believe God could do anything. I said, I know He can. And there's some things we're praying about. Lord, I know You can do it. I know You can do it. I know You can do it. There's no limits on our God. And let me tell you, that same faith that is in us, we want to give it to You to believe God for anything according to His Word. According to His Word, that nothing will be set back for You. That you won't stay in the belly of that fish forever. That you and I will come out and we will see God move like never before. That we will see God's presence and Holy Spirit poured out upon this church, upon this community, and this area like never before. That God will move and will move upon the people, and the conviction power of the Holy Ghost will be upon their lives. That they will not come just to a barbecue, my God, but they will come and the presence of God will be upon them so strong that tears will run down their eyes, out of their eyes, because the presence of God is working on the inside of their heart, changing them. You see, God let Jonah go in that belly to change his heart. To change his heart towards Nineveh. He was mad that God would save that city. Can you imagine? He was upset with God. He wanted God to destroy it. He wanted it. He wanted them to pay for what they've done. Oh, isn't that spirit alive in us? Oh. But what does God want to happen? He saw the people's lives and hearts and says, what can I do? And Jonah went over there and preached the gospel. Preached, preached repentance. Preached, preached, preached. The faith was built up in the people to believe God for anything. To believe God for anything. To believe God for anything. It's only 11 o'clock, y'all. I didn't say it was 11:32. I just said it was 11 o'clock. But almost finished, guys. We need to delight ourselves in the Lord. Delight ourselves in the Lord. Meditate upon His Word as it builds faith in us, people. As it builds faith in us. As it builds faith in us. Let me tell you this. Don't ever, as a Christian, look, everybody look this way, please, just for a minute. As a Christian, a lady or a man, as a Christian, never give up on your God. Let me say it again. As a Christian, as a man of God, as a woman of God, never give up on your God. Because that's what Slewfoot wants you to do. Is give up and say God can't do it. Destroy our faith. But God is saying, I want to raise the faith of my people. The simple faith that we have in the cross when we got saved is the same faith we need to see the power of God move upon a church, upon a community, and upon the world. We serve one God, we have one mission, and that's to reach the world at whatever cost, whatever we can do, by preaching the Word of God and seeing God move. What did Jesus do? He preached the Word. He went in the synagogue and He preached. He went in the desert place and He preached. He climbed a mountain and He preached. He preached everywhere He went. I heard somebody say this. Well, you think Jesus wants us to be on television and doing... Well, if Jesus had television back then, He would have used it. Because He went everywhere else. He would have. He would have. Thank God we do now. We have the internet all over. We can get the gospel out throughout the world. Let God build your faith up in the things that He's doing in your heart and life. Don't let the devil destroy your faith. You might say, well, Pastor, how do we do it? You pray and you say, Lord, help me build my faith. And you put your faith and trust in Calvary's cross. And you say, Lord, whatever it is you want to do in me, tip the scale of belief and non-belief. And let the scale do this in your heart, to believe God for anything of what He can do. Praise God. Amen. You may stand, please. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for today. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, just for a minute, I want to make sure. You know, I don't know the condition of people's hearts. I mean, that's between them and the Lord. But if you don't know Jesus and you'd like to give your heart to Him this morning, you'd like to give your life to Him this morning, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? You might say, Pastor, I've been away for a while, you know. And Lord, I need God just to help me. I need to accept Him again as my Lord. If you're in that area of your life, would you raise your hand? Amen. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Amen. Let's pray together because we do have two people that raised their hands and we want to make sure we pray with them and help them. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins. And I accept You as the Lord of my life. I ask that your will be done in me. I accept you as the Lord of my life. I will do all that I can to please you. Your will be done in my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Just think of this. He just wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. My God. My God. Amen. Father, Lord, I just thank you for your people. Lord God, I pray that the Spirit of God would be evident in their lives this week, Lord. Father, I pray that you would build their faith to believe for the things you want to do, Lord God. There's great things in store for us. Lord, help us to believe it. Be with us, protect us, and help us this week, Lord. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, guys, Jolene and I, we appreciate you. We thank God for you and love you. And also, there's a great holiday Tuesday. Great, y'all know what it is? No? Y'all forgot? Tuesday is our anniversary, Jolene and I. No, the 19th. 25 years. Now, when is your anniversary? Yesterday. How many years? 20? Oh, she knew it quick. Last time, she had to calculate it. I mean, she was right. So, no. 25 years, Jolene and I have been married on the 19th. I know some of you have been married a long time. But we appreciate you guys. We thank God for you, and we love you. And you have a great week this week. Amen.